All right, I think we're ready to call this meeting to order. It's 101, January 7th, 2025. Welcome, it's good to see some new faces and to see some familiar faces as well. And it's nice to have this really awesome food. I think anyone shows up late to Canara, am I wrong? I mean, no one wants to miss out, so thanks Tyler, this is great. We need to start with approving the minutes for November 5th.
I move to approve the minutes from November 5th as presented.
Second that.
All those in favor?
Who seconded it?
I did. Ken Robinson.
So we have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that motion carries. We're going to move now to the Rural Planning Organization functions, and that's going to be by Chris Hall, Rich Wilson, and Dan Justin.
Let's start with Chris. Okay. So this agenda item, we know there's a lot of new people. We want to kind of go over some of the things that we accomplished in this and kind of explain why there's benefit to different organizations to have these meetings and attendance here. So I just wanted to start off from you guys' perspective. We are technically in charge of planning for all of the rural transportation across the entire state. So that includes Iron County, and as Iron County is growing, as they get closer to more urbanized areas, we set these RPOs up, or rural planning organizations, knowing that there needs to be more effort in these areas than there are in some of the other rural parts of the state. And so it's really critical because there is a lot of different transportation aspects in Iron County in the area, and they really require a lot of coordination. And we would not be able to accurately or efficiently plan for transportation projects without the coordination that happens at these meetings. It gives us this chance to talk about projects that are coming up, that are needed. And so oftentimes, you know, the UW employees cover huge areas of the state. Like, the area that I cover for planning is the entire southern half of the state, so geographically half the state. So that's a lot of area to cover, so it's really easy to miss things. Without coordination meetings like these, it's really, you don't know what you don't know. So it's great to get the feedback and conversation in these meetings to say, you know, you got to be aware of some of the transportation issues that you're seeing. So we can effectively make sure we got the plans coming out to accommodate growth and issues that way. So from our perspective, we would never be able to have an efficient, well thought out transportation plan without coordination like this. It's just really critical because it provides an option to that coordination where it may not happen to one of these meetings. So from UW's perspective, it's just a great option for us to just say, hey, these are what the plans are. What are we missing? What do we need to add? And make sure that there's coordination and collaboration between it. Because there's not only just the state system, but there's also the local systems. We need to make sure that they're coordinating well and they're tying together, especially in the growth areas, so that they handle what growth is coming and stuff. I think that was kind of what I wanted to highlight. You know, maybe.
Yeah, let's go with Dan and Brent, and then I'll just finish up.
Should I have started with introducing, because I realize a lot of people don't know a lot of people? Should we pause for just a second and introduce, because I recognize I should know. So if you want to start, you want to start with introducing yourself?
Yes, I'm Kirk Thornock. I'm the UW Agency Board Director. I've met some of you in the past, but I'm going to try to make as many of these meetings as possible. Chris will still be a good contact for you, but I just want to make sure I'm part of this process, this executive. So I appreciate that.
All right. Second gentleman, Brian Hedner.
Chris Paulson, Rural Planner.
Dakota Bayer, very good mayor.
Dan Jessen, Maryland City Manager.
Steve Nelson, Senior City Mayor.
Paul Kessler, Zoning Commission.
Jim Rushton, Senior City Mayor.
Hayden White, Public Works Director for Union.
Molly Holtzman, Maryland City Mayor.
Brandon Stewart, I'm the UWASH Public Sector Consultant.
Tyler Allred, Canara Hill Mayor.
George Colson, Iron County Emergency Manager.
Mike Blake from the County Commission.
Ken Robinson, County Commission.
Brett Hamilton, Iron County Planner.
Darren Bushman, Director of Pipe County Association of Governments.
Nate Weiberg, Pipe County AOG Planner.
Thank you. All right, so we were going to hear from you next, Nate, or we were going to hear...
You were going to have me go and then Brett.
And Brett.
And then Brett.
Okay.
So first thing, I just want to start by saying, from the last meeting to this one, we have lost some real strong institutional knowledge. I just want to recognize all the time that Reed put in and that Rob put in. They were just absolute pillars. How much stress have you had, Nate, in the past month because of them leaving? They were really great, which is okay, and we'll all move on from our point at some point, and we all have to learn these things. One thing I wanted to say is these combined meetings, of course, we have our RPO, RTEC meeting, and then we go into the Council of Governments meeting. Everybody forgets, and sometimes we get ahead of the curve and start talking other business on the Council of Governments on this meeting. But of all the meetings that we go to, this one is really valuable. There's so many things where we care about what's happening within our borders only, and this is one time where we really get to put our heads together. Everybody's egos aren't quite as exposed if we're not in front of the public, and it's just a good time to work together, coordinate together, plan together, see what's going on with the others, how we actually help each other. The spirit of cooperation and coordination in this is absolutely critical for us to do good things in Iron County. I think it's a really good thing to do and to be aware of, to attend as many meetings as possible. And I guess that's about all I have to say. Go team.
No, I mean,
he said what I just said in three words. He would have said it in three words. The vulgar phrase.
No, I mean, Dan's just right. I think that was my first point I wanted to hit on, too, was just the collaboration. You know, it provides a unified voice. So rather than, you know, trying to go after things kind of on your own, to a big extent, you can actually, you know, with this group, you can go together as a unified voice, you know, as an entire region. And with that, I think it really helps with, you know, when you're going after transportation funding, when you're going after grants, it's I think, a lot more valuable, and it makes the project stronger to go after it as having it be kind of a regional project rather than a small local project that a lot of times gets overlooked. So I think that's kind of a big factor. And then I think this group, this effort, really helps it to be a proactive approach to the transportation planning versus being reactive, where you're kind of addressing issues after the fact. So I think this really helps us get ahead of it. You know, and with all these transportation projects, we're looking 20 years into the future, essentially, on some of these. And so I think it again, really helps focus on looking at it regionally all together and then looking out into the future rather than just looking at the needs of, you know, today and tomorrow. So.
Thank you. Just those were great words. So I put this really fine print list in front of you, as well as this list here. So these two groups, the RTEC and the Iron County COG, we manage these lists. And this one, we call it the long-range plan. This is all of the projects that up to this point we felt as if are regionally significant that need to be on here, discussed, brought up, because it doesn't affect just one community, one neighborhood. These have potential to affect the entire county or multiple, at least multiple neighborhoods or cities at a time. And so that's one of the lists of projects that we manage, and UDOT uses this in their prioritization. We use this when we go after other funding as well. It really helps our case that we've been planning and trying to prioritize. And pretty soon our traffic demand model is going to be complete, and we'll be able to compare our list to that model to see how well we're doing as we look at the future growth and projections and stuff like that.
The other one, this is the preservation, corridor preservation priority list. It's not a list, it's not a prioritized list. It's a list of priorities that we're trying to get funded sometime between now and who knows into the future. And there's a process to get projects on this list, but corridor preservation fund is what we're looking to put toward these projects to set aside land for future corridors, like the Cedar Belt route, which is a great example. We used some of this funding recently in Parowan with the bridge reconstruction. Enoch, kind of, I forget the name of the road in Enoch. Yes, thank you. So there's a lot of projects on here that we set aside so we can get those corridors, so we can make sure to have a road there instead of a building or something that might create congestion. We don't want to build right up to these corridors, so we can get those in the future. That's it. That's all I have to say. We'll talk about more about the COG stuff in the next meeting after we close this. But those are two very important things that these two meetings prioritize and manage.
And I was just going to add to really amplify and maximize your time. Be sure you engage with Nate about getting things on the agenda. I don't know if you want to kind of talk about that for a second. I know there's a little bit of a scramble to get the agenda built at times, and it would be nice to have that be a little bit thought for everybody involved, because these are these opportunities to get a lot of work done in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, generally I reach out beforehand to see if there's anything that's important that needs to be brought before this group. An example of that is the study on 3000 North, kind of to the Enoch Underpass. We're doing a study, so that we have the item that multiple people thought was important. And so we're looking for a better solution, because that's a regional, you know, intersection there. Also, we have Representative Albrecht on the call. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, we can give you a chance to introduce yourself.
Yeah, Representative Carl Albrecht, District 70. In Iron County, I serve the rural areas, everything west of I-15, Eating, Newcastle, Burl, that way.
Thank you for being here.
Happy to see you. Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. Is there anything else that needs to be said with this functions of the Control Planning Organization?
Not unless there's questions.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
I guess my question would be, so this is either just listing these that are kind of out there or potential or plans?
Yeah, so yeah, this is, all of these are our future capacity or safety projects. We're on the long roadways. Our focus is transportation. So it can be also active transportation projects we can add to this, but most of these are rural projects.
Okay. One of the main reasons it's important, there's certain funding that should become available to you as an entity want to apply. Some of the prerequisites that has to be a part of the local RPO priority list in order to qualify for the sites for meeting and planning.
Yeah, and just come from out from left field, so you can see on this list. And this list gets evaluated, reviewed, and shuffled around, and all those things. So it's kind of, I don't know, a bit of a guide, marching order kind of deal.
Yeah, the advisory committee looks at this 6 times a year, and this group approves it once a year. We're letting it, we didn't do it in November. There was a whole bunch of projects that need to be reviewed from the SS4A study that we did last year, and before we wanted to see if we wanted to put any of those on that list before we approved it again.
All right, so when
do
you think we'll approve it again?
Hopefully next time.
Okay.
So in 2 months.
All right, so with that, there's no other questions, and you know, for of you that are new, it'll seem like a lot, but you'll get it figured out quick. Number four is the Cedar Valley Belgrade Corridor Preservation, and I don't know if this is going to be new.
I'll do it, yeah. Yeah, so it's this big one here for corridor preservation funding request. So the portion there on the first page, that is just showing the location of the Cedar Valley Belt Route. So this is just north of State Route 56. So in total, the property that would be acquired, if I remember right, it's about 3.4 acres for the roadway through that portion. This is basically, so the Y is just a little bit further to the east. So you've got, perfect, that'd be great if you could pull it up. Yeah, so this is just west of the Y there, of Iron Springs and Highway 56. So a little bit further to the west.
Is it where it comes out? Is it just where one comes out?
Yeah, so it would be right there, joining where it's existing, yep. So yeah, a little bit further to the north, there's already, a lot of it's already acquired. So south of here, you've got 5700 West, and 5700 West all the way down to I-15, it's constructed. It's a paved road, and it's also part of the Cedar Valley Belt Route. So this is, a good piece for acquiring. So it went to the advisory committee at the last meeting, and there was a recommendation of approval of it. One of the things that was included in the recommendation, there was questions on whether or not that the requested amount, if it included all of the additional costs for the appraisal and for closing costs, things of that nature. And so after going back and looking at it a little bit more, I think on there now it includes $1,500 for some of those estimated other direct costs. I was talking to Rich Wilson about it, and it indicated that the appraisal for this one was a little bit more than some of the others that they'd done. So one of the things he wanted me to make sure to mention here was just if we could actually, instead of that $59,980 as the request, it would be an additional $1,500 on that to cover all of the closing costs and the appraisal for it. So the total request would actually be $61,480. So that'd be an additional $1,500 from what's here. And again, I think he said the actual cost in the appraisal for this one was about $1,700. And then I think he was estimating it would be around $1,500 for the closing costs on it.
Didn't we have the actual appraisal?
We did, and I think on the back here, it has the appraisal there, but obviously it doesn't show what the appraisal cost was. But from his memory, I was just talking to him about it this morning. He was out sick today, but he was saying from what his memory said, he knew this one was more than what he typically spends on the appraisals for him on these belt route ones. I don't know if that's because it was a larger piece of property, because a lot of them, it's not quite, 3.4 acres, it's usually quite a bit less than that on the acquisitions. But so it would be, I know on some of the other belt routes we've discussed how it wasn't just the belt route portion, but because sometimes it would bisect a property and make a piece of it unusable, that we would also acquire that property as well and then sell it off in the future and put those funds back into the corridor preservation fund. That wouldn't be the case on this one. For this one, it would just be acquisition of the right-of-way for the belt route. It would just leave property on both sides that could be used. So no additional property included in this request.
So the orange line on the map that goes up to the residential, is it justify that property as well, or just the section south?
So right now it's just the piece across the property right here. And then that's future. And north of there are portions of it that there's already all of the right-of-way acquired. And then I believe Rich has mentioned that he's already reached out to the folks to the south to actually connect it right there at Highway 56. So he's already got it surveyed. So when he requested the survey from Platt and Platt for the alignment across this piece here, They also did the alignment there so that it actually makes sense and it shows where it would align from 5700 connecting into this piece here so that there's no conflict or so we don't have to come back later and realign or adjust anything. So it's included that as well. But that would come back at a future time for that southern property that actually abuts up against SR 56.
All right, this is an item that is on our agenda for action. Are there any other additional questions on this use of the portal preservation funds?
I just wanted to clarify,
just the right of way.
How wide is the right of way?
100 feet wide.
100 feet wide. And the total amount for this is 61,480.
61,480 for the 3.44 acres.
Model from here. If I could just, for those that are new, this entity is actually in control of these funds in case of corridor preservation. The other list is our planning list and all of that stuff. The corridor preservation are funds that used to be controlled by the state. They're now in the custody of the county, but the RPO is the one that gets to approve and of the use of these funds. Us as entities can apply. The criteria is very specific of what they can be used for. The advisory board makes a recommendation, and then this committee approves them. Once they're approved here, then it goes to the county commission to actually cut the check. But that's the process dedicated by the state. So we're actually approving right now this expenditure of these funds. So I just want to kind of clear that up. Maybe those didn't know.
Can I just make another comment to that? So the motion from this body will be to recommend approval from the to the COG for approval. So that's kind of the process.
Do we have an idea of what the overall budget for corridor preservation funds is from year to year?
So there's about $5 million in the account, and it's growing.
I don't have the exact number on me, but it comes from when we register our vehicles, a portion of that comes to the corridor preservation fund. And so as our population grows, that grows.
So that sits in the fund balance. The county's the custodian. The county can't expend funds without going through their budget process, but they can't spend this money without the RPO and the COG authorizing. And then it's just really a kind of an automatic fiduciary role that the county does in actually letting the funds go. But they have to budget for it and all that stuff. So other than acquiring land and right away, the only other thing that the county can spend money on is planning. And they do spend money each year both on usually a planning grant that we would apply for, not a planning grant, but a planning. We would hire an engineer to do some work. You know about that, Brett. And then I think Pike County gets funded a little bit to help coordinate this process, but it all comes out, which is allowed by code. But last I checked, it was north of 5 million.
All right, so this vote would be for a recommendation to the COG to approve this use of these funds.
Motion to recommend.
Second. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That motion carries. All right. Moving now to item 5, which is the Corridor Preservation Policy Update. And this is Mike Weber.
All right. Thank you. So last year, the county had some money for planning. So part of what we had been working on for about years now, Iron County decided to use some of that money just to finish up a big piece of the corridor preservation policy. And it really didn't change our policies, it just clarified. So that's this document here. There's actually two of them. So we really just simplified and clarified what we were already doing, knowing that there's always some turnover and stuff like that. So there's two processes here. The top one in green is the process for priority list application process. So if, let's just say, Cedar City wants to get a project on the corridor preservation priority list, they need to fill out an application. Usually it's a staff person, so it would be Kent probably filling that out. And then it goes through these bodies for approval to get on that list. And then the second one is the process for funding application. So when you're ready to go for funding for that corridor, then you'll go through the same process. It will get approved by the RTAC, and the RTAC, and the COG. And that's basically for both of those. The reason why they're separate is sometimes projects need to go on the list years before they're fully funded. For example, the Cedar Belt out, it's a huge road. And it's going to take years to buy all of the properties along that corridor. So they'll actually fill out a bunch of forms in preparation for the bodies to approve the funding. And so that's what this is. Basically, this is replacing pages 1 and 2 of this sheet, just to clarify the process and make it easier for staff and elected officials to look at. And there's state code we have to follow. There's a lot of state code behind what we can have in our policies, but we're just trying to clarify it here. So we need approval for that. Oh, also, in the policy, we've changed the name of the long-range plan, this one, from priority list to long-range plan. So we had two lists named priority list, which was super confusing for a lot of people. So this one's now long-range plan part of the policy. Any questions?
So as far as going through the steps, the only things you identified are the changes. Everything else is basically the same. It's just more graphic.
It's more graphic. It's a little more clear. There's some redundancy in places. Our job was really to try to clarify it here to the best we could. We're going to come back later and clean up some of the language on the back end of the policy, but that's going to be months and months down the road, and we want to get this in place now because we're going to be approving the list next time we meet. So.
All right, are there any questions on this? And it's just like the last item is going to be a recommendation to the COG, so that would be what we'd be making the motion to recommend the Corridor Preservation Policy updates.
I move to recommend the policy updates.
Second that.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Was that Blake?
It was.
Oh,
that was Ken.
All right, moving now to our UDOT updates. We have Chris Hall to do that for us.
Yep. So we make this a standing agenda item because UDOT has put it on breakfast and I can't be. And so where there's so many people all go over and just go over all of our projects. In future meetings, I'll probably hit the highlights of what's changed on those projects, but I'm always open to give any questions. I have a spreadsheet that kind of gets updated every couple of months to get the highlights, but if you ask questions that you don't have the answer to, I can find out and let you know. But we just want to keep you appraised of what the UDOT projects are in the area. So I'll just go down the list and make sure we got all of them so you're aware of all of them in the county. The first one we have on the list is the Parallel Bridge Replacement, which is kind of the local government project, but we're involved because it's federal funds. So the only thing I have is that we've advertised it, and I believe the construction should start sometime this year. Do you know?
Yeah, so there was a weird thing on the award was supposed to be made yesterday, but apparently it wasn't qualified to do a job of this size. so they're in extra period for a week to see if they can fix it. But the good news is we had three bids, and all three of them came in at or under the engineer's estimate. And our engineer's estimate only had $27 of wood over a minute. So we're doing this project for $2019. And I lost a lot of sleep hoping that the bids came in within range, because 100% of the over can come out of the city. So I'm extremely excited that the second place bid is $200,000 under our engineer's estimate, giving us a little bit of wiggle room for change orders and things. So we're extremely pleased. We don't even know it's all digital nowadays, and the office won't release that information until it gets resolved. So we don't know who it is, a little bit of the second place bid, but we're excited that it'll be funded. They have to finish the project by the end of December 26th, but they get to tell us their own timeline. So we don't really know, but it's going to happen probably spring, summer. We'll have a new bridge.
The next project is I-15 southbound lane from miles 38 to 43. So it's the southbound widening, and that's in design. We should have mostly designed by March, but it should be advertised and start construction later this summer. Then we have our current project that's ongoing, the northbound climbing lane from miles 43 to miles 56. So they're still working on that. They'll be starting the bridge at the Canaryville exit and the roundabout in the next month or so. So that work is going to be starting in that area, and they'll still continue working on the I-15 as well. That one will finish this fall, so it'll be finished this year, but there's still plenty of work there. SR-143, this one's kind of in Idaho County and Garfield County, but it's up there by English Lake. We're looking at pavement rehabilitation, so we're just adding some additional overlaid asphalt to smooth out the road and give some more structure to it. And that one will be expected this summer as well, that work up there. We have another same thing, a pavement rehabilitation on SR-14 from miles 12.5 to 7.2 there, and that's just it's an asphalt overlay, and that's also going to be this summer. Old Highway 91, this is a Enix City project, but from my understanding, it was federal funds, that's why we're involved with it. And it's supposed to start sometime in the spring. Do you have any more updates on that?
We were supposed to have our kickoff meeting on the 1st of March, last I was told.
Okay. So that would be that Old Highway 91 through there will be under construction this summer as well.
How many miles of that?
2.5. Out of the 7 that we own.
What do you mean?
Mailing it up, doing new refurbished pavement, and then recapping it with a 2-inch overlay from the E-H Road down to the red flats right there, which is just desserts. No line. Just the mail and fill.
The next project is the Fiddler's Canyon Trail extension, so it's a multi-use path that's kind of underneath SR-130 Tennessee Main Street. And I know that there's been some right-of-way issues, and I don't have an update on that, but we provided some funding to Cedar City and they're kind of leading the project, but I haven't been up to that, so I can get some more information for our next meeting for some more updates there as well. And then the next project on the list is the SUU roundabout. I believe that project is complete. We're preparing their completion, so that one's just wrapping up. This is a Cedar City project, but it's got federal funds, the 800 West Extension from 750 North to Coal Creek Road, and it's expected to be constructed this summer as well. I don't have much information on that one since we're local government, but it's just got some federal funds on it.
You were told yesterday that UDOT would be able to acquire the right of way for 6 to 8 months at least.
So I'll update that to the right of
way. Is it adverse acquisition? Or? Is it an adverse acquisition?
It hasn't been, but if you're on the UDOT, there wants to be accepted federal money for it, and that would be the UDOT. So I would think it's also considered that it's a good idea.
So the next project is the Highland Springs Road intersection with SR 56. So that's going to be a signalized intersection in the future, and that one is going to be constructed this summer as well. So it'll just be kind of putting a signal in at that location because it's a safety project to improve the safety of that intersection. Our South Cedar Interchange and Widening project is currently still going through the design process. Next month, we should have the plans about 60% complete. We've been coordinating pretty closely with Cedar City. They've been invited to all the meetings. So if you're interested, you can come to the meetings. Can't come to the meetings. But we want to make sure that Cedar City is involved in the whole process. And so we provide updates like that the whole group know, but you're definitely more involved in this right there. And so we can, I always know who the project manager is, and so you can reach out if you want to be more involved or just like change your shack and whatever. But yeah, that's moving along. That one, the right of way, we have to have multiple full takes on there and some businesses. And we're going to move into condemnation because they're not willing, so we have to come down to purchase the property there. So we're starting that process, and this could take us at least a year to go through that process before we're done. So it's we're moving along, but we're starting that kind of process on that one. The next one is we did a feasibility study that I think is complete now for a trail from Cedar City to Enoch for multi-use path. I think we've got a preferred alignment for that trail, and so now it's just a matter of kind of looking for funding to see if we can get any funding for it. Next project is, this is an Iron County project, but it's got federal funds and guts involved. Iron Springs Road reconstruct, so it's right adjacent to the Y, and there's some discussion of trying to combine those two projects, construction at the same time, about whether they're on a different time schedule. If they need to find, they may not, it kind of depends on how things come in for both of those projects. And I don't know whether you have anything to add to that one from a county perspective. So, but yeah, so that one's, I can't remember how many miles.
It's about 7 miles.
About seven miles of Iron Springs Road that would be through the overlay over the lightning and just improving that road up there. The next project is only partially Iron County, but we're doing some drainage repair. I think most of this is in Washington County, but it's coming out of Black Ridge. But I thought you might be aware of that. That should be in construction this summer, so we see drainage improvements in Iron County. There may be a little bit in Iron County, but most of it's in Washington County, but it's just a little project. So I want you to be aware of that. And then the next project is a study we're doing. It's the Phoenix Cedar Interconnection Feasibility Study. So I think Nate talked about this one. We're looking at the feasibility of widening that underpass underneath I-15 right next to the Summit Burning Road and then connecting it in so that there's a way to bypass kind of the interchange in those busy intersections for people coming in from Phoenix. We're looking at a lot of different things. There's a lot of growth that Cedar has in that area with grocery stores and residential that interchange. And also all the growth in Phoenix with all the new homes out there is going to put more traffic there. So we're looking at saying not only what works the next couple of years, but also out to 2050, 2055 to say what are the projects that we need to do to make sure that those transportation intersections don't fail. And so we're looking at options. There's with the projected growth that we kind of worked with Ian and Cedar on, it's more than what the Kim C. Gardner numbers are. And so we're looking at this as a worst case scenario in this study, but we're also going to have a different plan for kind of the Kim C. Gardner numbers that we're held to. So we always have an idea of what's worst case and what may be actual, so we know what projects are needed and when. Some of them will be like more local government projects, some of them will be more UDOT projects like the state code. So it's just a coordination to make sure everybody's aware of what's coming in that area and what are some of the proposed solutions for the traffic.
So are you looking to put in an interchange there or just improving the bridge under the
So we looked at a bunch of different options. One of the alternatives to it is an improved interchange to a single point interchange, so similar to what we have south of the Cedar. And then we also looked at improving Bulldog Road where it connects like from S curve, and that's just like a one road up and turns to get from Eden to Cedar. And we also looked at additional roads kind of on the east side in that mall area from the new under or the proposed underpass
right.
to SR-130. And we looked at all of those to say, do any of these work? And the analysis said one of them alone doesn't work. We're going to need multiple of those types of projects to make it work. And even then, in 2050, it wasn't looking super good. So we looked at, because we have a proposed interchange, like something to be like on I-15, and that one seemed to pull a lot more traffic out of there. So that may be a better thing is to move that interchange up so people in Enoch can get on I-15 in Enoch and can get there. So that's likely one of the possibilities is getting that one funded sooner rather than later would probably help. But we'll have better results, and then I'll do a presentation in this meeting in a couple of months, and then we'll finalize it, and then I'll ask you to see the results and everything like that. So,
and this item on your list is just a feasibility study for that to try to look at all the data, so it's not, it's just looking at it to see what.
Yeah, just feasibility, just looking at it, and then once we see what projects will be the best to handle that traffic, and then we can say, okay, how do we want to plan, how do we start looking for funding for some of them. We have a chip seal project or a paper preservation on SR-130 from kind of Mapos 9, which is end of Enoch all the way to Leonardsville. And then we also have another preservation and chip seal on an SR-56 from Burrow Junction to Iron Mountain. And both of those will be this summer. We'll be doing those chip seal projects to preserve the road. And then I think our last one that we're going to cover is a South Parowan interchange study. So there's water development on the south end of Parowan, gas stations, things and everything. And there were some concerns of saying, you know, is that interchange going to still function with all this new development? So we're looking at it to ensure that that's the case, and if it is not, what are some of the options to make sure that that interchange still functions in the future. So, and that one, they're still evaluating some of that stuff, but it's looking like the current interchange will work with some additional plans and a few things like that. So there may be some more congestion than what people are used to there, but it's probably not going to justify millions of dollars to change, make major changes to interchange, but this study really gives us the data, and then we can just make sure we keep an eye on the future if anything changes. So those are the project updates for UDOT. Is there any questions on any of those?
Are you still seeing kind of an accelerated model on your timelines, or are you starting to see that get a little more normal? Like you told me at one time, like 20-year projects are being bumped to 6 years, things like that. Are you starting to see more leveling out of that, or is it still kind of all over the place?
So we have a lot of our funding planned out along the way, so most of our capacity projects are planned out well past 2030. So we're not going to see a lot of major projects for UDOT until after 2030. And that's why we're doing a lot of these studies to say, are we going to see major impacts before then and try and have those conversations to see what we can do. But yeah, we're not looking to, we don't have any funding because all of that's kind of spoke for across the state. So we probably won't see UDOT funding many projects, like major capacity projects besides like the paper presentation is keeping the roads in good repair. So, Kurt, do you have anything to add to that?
No. Okay. All right. No action on that item, so we can move on. Unless there are any other questions. All right, we'll move to local transportation project studies and updates, and these are by those here that are here individually. I guess we can start with Paul. Who wants to go over?
No.
Calloway?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess we've got a water project that's been worked. I mean, they wanted to do it originally in 2005. And then it got pushed back, and they've been working the last few years. I met with our town clerk and our town maintenance guy, and both of them are still confused on timelines, funding, a bunch of stuff. It's a new well, new tank, new pipes, new everything throughout the whole town. New meters, so we don't have to have meter readers. I sat down with our town clerk Monday and asked her what they needed, what we needed. And there's a lot of confusion, so I asked her next Wednesday is our meeting. I asked her to have the engineer come in, and anybody else that's kind of, you know, taking care of this, and just get everybody on the same page, because there's, from what people have been telling me, there's just been a lack of transparency and lack of communication, and so there's no one person saying this is our timeline, this is what we're doing. It's kind of been a jumbled mess, so I'm trying to get that in line, because there some people have been telling me it's going out to bid in February, but nobody knows what's actually happening that I can, get a full story from. So hopefully next Wednesday we'll have a better idea of what's going on. But the last thing I heard is, it's a 40-year, the loan is 40 years, it's $10,000 a month. And there's some people that don't know if we can afford that, so I'm like, we'll pump the brakes until we kind of know what's going on. So hopefully,
will it affect roads and transportation, or is it just kind of an update on the city?
Well, it'll go through all of Paragill roads through Main Street, which is UDOT. It'll tear up all of our roads, hikes. It's something that I can't go to one person just like tell us exactly what's going on. So there's a lot. It'll affect all of our roads, easements, everything, and counties, cities, all sorts of different stuff.
Is that on your radar at all?
What's
that?
Hopefully he's at the meeting Wednesday that we can get everybody. So that's really the biggest thing we've got going right now.
That's huge. Alright, so you don't worry about stealing my thunder, you can do the updates.
Oh.
Yeah.
So transportation wise, Chris pretty much hit the big one. There's a few other things that we're doing. We have UDOT doing a study on changing the speed limit on 200 South. So we'll see how that shakes out. You might have to go slower as you're on your
up
way
or down.
To scream up to Brian Head, go snowboard again.
Up or down.
It needs to go down. It's not safe to drive any faster than 38 miles an hour on that road during deer season.
Yeah, you'll hit a deer.
You'll hit a deer.
And we've got some new commerce there, ins and outs, a lot more than it has been, with more coming. And so just the community brought it to us with concerns, and so it's being looked at, and we're talking about it. But it definitely is on the radar, and may or may not change. We're going to find out with these studies what the right thing to do is, what the right direction is to go with it.
In my own personal study, 38 miles an hour is about as fast as you can go to actually stop and not hit the deer. Much faster than that, you're going to hit the deer.
Other than that, we have a couple of other studies. Small
scale. Is there a
variation
in that?
We're doing a sidewalk on that same road. Tiny little subdivisions, so the kids don't have to ride on the side of the highway as they're going into town. We're really appreciative of UDOT working with us on that. And there's a study for a new development and how it'll tie into that same road. So. Plus, Meisner is doing a traffic impact study for their 170-acre development. So we get a lot going on with roads.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the bridge is, speaking of pedestrian safety, is it will have pedestrians protected on both sides, lighted. So whether they're coming into town to go to school or work, or they're going out just walking on 91 or to the park, both of those are going to be there, which is great. We won't have people crossing and, weird things happening. And we did on how much that was going to impact our bid. So again, we got that, which is part of the big picture with the master active transportation plan. And with the sidewalk on 200, we're making good progress and appreciate everybody helping us and supporting us on that, keeping our kids safe. Our people safe, because it's just as much everybody trying to walk around more and get more on bikes and stuff. All right, Mayor Nelson. All right, Commissioner Cousins.
Aye. So I'll defer to Hayden, but I'm excited for the 191.
You're really putting the pressure on the county to do their portion of all the time.
I don't have anything, but I do have a question.
Sure.
I have been working on one of these items. Does everything get appraised? Do you guys have a dollar amount for acre?
Just to get on the list?
No, it's on the list, but I've been dealing with the farmer for the belt route on a couple of pieces of property. But I don't know. I don't want to lie to the guy and make him change his mind on selling it.
So, for a reservation?
Yeah.
I think it has to be
appraised. It has to be appraised.
You have to have an appraisal for law, for state law.
Thank you.
But Nate is the guy that we have new forms we just approved. In fact, that's one of the agenda items we've been talking about.
But for, sorry.
For the preservation process. But I'm saying Nate's the guy that's going to read the process.
Yes. Yeah. Get with me. It's part of that. There's forms with that that you fill out. Get hold of me and I'll help you out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you next? We're not skipping these guys, are we?
No.
Transportation-wise for us, we acquired a grant to the outdoor something, I don't know what it was. Get out high. There you go, that one. And the town was able to acquire 3 acres of property up next to the Canary Falls. Gives us more parking, and we're going to be able to have 50 more people a day, because that was what pulled us back was the parking lot. And we're going to try that for a year. So that will impact us and the county and our Highway 91 on the in and out. And then if we do good this year and it doesn't impact our town too much and our residents don't get pissed, then we will try to bump it up to 300 people a day. And
that's what keeps their taxes low.
They don't care. They bitch. You're going to find out. You're going to find out no matter what you do. You're going to get your ass chewed for every breathing the wrong way. It's like, it doesn't matter what you do, you're an ass. So, anyways, as soon as we get that, it'll be another 100 people a day possibly in 2 years. So that will affect you guys with your on-ramps and off-ramps and lovely roundabout and everything else.
How many permits are you giving a day now?
We bumped it up this to 250 now. We went to 200 last year, and then we've been at 150 for the last 8 years, and then 7 years. We bumped it up to 200 last year to see if the parking lot could handle it, and it was at max capacity. And then this. The jerks that were living there decided to put their house up for sale. We were happy to see them leaving. We were able to get the money to get them the hell out of town quicker. And we acquired it through the grant. And we were glad to see them go.
Did you help them pack?
All but, yeah. We were glad to see them leave. They were pains in the ass. So, yeah. So hopefully that will help us out to where we can get... This is PG-13. So this will probably help us out and get us actually back to the 300. Because back 10 years ago when we were trying to get a limited, the BLM wanted us around 300 people a day. So we're taking baby steps and getting there. And we get 300 people a day, then we're back where everybody wants it for the tourists, for the tourism and everything else with the county and everything.
Does it work?
Well, it's Holly, our little hikes manager. She does it all.
she's worth her weight in gold. She doesn't weigh much.
All right.
Now, you know, so the county incorporation with the Forest Service is, with FEMA funding from the 23 Plus, we're going to repair and redirect Gold Springs Road somewhat, do some course direction on that. The FEMA deadline was the 23rd of December, but I was able to negotiate a 6-month extension. So Bruce is hoping that we can get that done by the end of June, and so we'll have that Gold Springs Road. Hopefully it will keep it from being that infrastructure being destroyed again in another year like we had the Brain Tree out there. So,
how far are you going?
I think he's only going about, I think it's less than 2 miles. So it's just
the lower
a repair and kind of a redirection of that road and to make that water flow a little bit easier so that it doesn't destroy that road again.
Okay. And just getting it out of the bottom, and we just move it up on the hillside.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he's getting the material from.
All right, Commissioner Blake.
Another, the only thing I have to, I really appreciate George and his relationship with FEMA. He's choked every last dime out of FEMA, literally, to make our. I mean, we've been able to do a number of projects that we shouldn't have been able to do because Jordan really holds their feet to the fire, and we've been able to get some funding for projects like that, for restoration projects and stuff. I appreciate George's tact with certain federal agencies.
It's a rare skill.
Hey, whatever works. We'll keep it. I don't have anything to defer to Brett, the smart guy.
Brett and Rich are doing a great job of keeping things under control and doing that. One thing, I did go meet with our Public Works Director on the widening of Iron Springs Road. There's going to be a lot of material that we'll be able to pull out of the mining sites to offset some of the cost of that. So
that'll be a campaign match.
So it'll be real good.
Much better than right to check.
The only thing I think I was going to mention was we're a couple months in now to our capital facilities plan that we're working with Kinley Horn on. So that's transportation, sewer, storm drain. So I know that Kinley Horn's been reaching out to pretty much all the cities just looking for information and data. So thank you for all the help you provided with that. But yeah, nothing else.
Did you want to bring up the State Street Small Demonstration Grant? About that?
Oh, yes. But you probably know more of the details on it than I do. It's about it being awarded and all that.
That's all I know is that I saw that Federal Highway was awarded like $1.7 million for safety improvements in that county. And the federal amount was $1.4 million, so the rest of the match is in the county, but I think. So that would include some safety improvements. I don't know where projects we identified as a group as a county group and had them. Part of that study that the SS4 SS just for all, and essentially it's just for like more of the temporary fixes, people to use crashes. So I think most of the projects are signs, driver feedback signs, like curb signs and painting shoulders, or the shoulder lines on the roads. And I can't remember a few other things, but it was just something that was in a lot of these areas could help reduce crashes. And so the county was really fascinated to some of those projects.
Aaron, did you have anything?
No.
Maybe no, this is my thing, so I'm glad you're all here.
All right. Okay, so all we have left in this meeting is the any other discussion items. Does anyone have anything? And then I think we have an error on the agenda. Where's our next meeting on March 4th?
March 4th is in Cedar City. Probably 26, not 25.
That's correct.
25.
Yeah, don't come here in a time machine in 2025. Go to Cedar City to the council chambers. Correct?
Yes, that's what it's normally held. I'll get with Paul to get a spot.
So.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We'll call the order.